now listening to the Nasty Backpack Podcast.
What up, everybody? It's your boy, Nasty Backpack. Y'all listen to the Nasty Backpack Podcast. Let's get to it. So, I was working one of my second jobs this weekend, and I was up there in the Mesa area, and I never realized how bad Mesa has gotten with the drug problem that they got over there. You know, every city in Phoenix is suffering from this. Well, in the valley, you know, you go to Scottsdale, some parts of Scottsdale, especially, you know, right around that Scottsdale Tempe area, is super bad. You go to Tempe, there's some areas that are getting bad, but this has been happening for some time. You know, this ain't just like one morning they the switch just flipped. Because when I remember growing up, when you thought about Mesa, you thought about Mesa just being like this super richy area. You know, that was the stereotype. Same with Scottsdale and Tempe, and you know, especially when you come from Maryvale, and you know, you lived your whole life in Maryvale, and you kind of just you know, I just had this perspective of what Mesa was. And doing my second job, I was in the Mesa area, and I mean, the drug problem over there has got super bad, where a lot of Mesa now looks like Phoenix, like Maryvale, like South Phoenix, like, you know, some of the worst parts of the valley due to a drug overtake. That's what Mesa is starting to look like. Like, I was also in like Santan and Chandler, and that's, being over there made me open my eyes and realize what Mesa used to be. And due to this opiate crisis, the oversupply and demand of fentanyl, the lack of just leaders and you know, our government, and you know, even the government on our local level, has really allowed the city to get out of hand with drug activity. And you know, when you have a high demand of drug activity, you're gonna have a high demand of crime and break-ins and theft, and down the line, all the way down to, you know, murder. And it's just crazy that this is going on in the city. And even though it's not just one person to blame on why the city is getting like this, because eventually, at this rate, if we don't crack down on this right now, this will hit Santan Valley. This will hit Chandler and Ahwatukee and more of Scottsdale than it's already in. And we got to figure this out now, because, you know, like, I always knew there was a hood in Mesa. I always knew there was, you know, but it's to a point where, like, everybody I saw walking looked like somebody on drugs or a drug addict. And that's just crazy to me, because, you know, you go to Phoenix, you'll see tons of, like, Phoenix streetwalkers can be anybody, you know, it could be, you know, you'll see anybody. But when I was in Mesa, you know, once it hit triple digit temps, all I saw was just people that looked like on drugs or homeless walking the streets. And I don't know. I don't know what we got to do to figure this out with our community to try to get these people help and you know, get them the things we need. Because the way I look at it is, if we can do this for people that are not citizens of the United States, we should be able to do this for our folks that are citizens. And they should not be just left to the side. And that's why I say, like, the drug problem here is probably just going to get worse with our current administration and government, federal government, our president and vice president, because with open borders, you just got everything just flying across, you know, the border. There ain't nothing to stop anything. And eventually, all that's going to flood back into our community, which it's been doing. But now you're going to add millions and millions of new people to the mix, just based off, you know, the 10% rule. Half these 10% of these people are going to be flat broke, if not all of them, when they get introduced to society. And 10% off of that is going to probably turn to the drug life and eventually probably get hooked on drugs as well, because they're going to be under the poverty line. And being that, you know, they gotta put food on the table, there's, you know, they're gonna be there's not gonna be a whole lot of jobs out there for these folks right off the bat. And I can see our drug problem here in Arizona and across the nation just getting a lot worse, especially with the amount of fentanyl that's coming across that border and you know, is reaching our youths, and it's just bad. We also have a really bad meth problem out here, and that's the other double-headed sword that we're dealing with is, you know, it's a lot of meth out there. Now it's all being cut with fentanyl. So, you know, I'm seeing a lot of people that come to me and tell me that they're only smoking meth, but they're, you know, UDSs, the UAs are saying that they're doing fentanyl as well. And a lot of these folks don't even know that. So it's very important to know what you're using and the risk that you're taking when you're smoking meth, because like I said, a lot of it is laced with fentanyl and cut with fentanyl, and because fentanyl is so readily available and a lot cheaper than other products, that they're able to straight cut it with it and make this really super potent meth that, you know, it's pretty much like a speedball. That's kind of what they found Michael Floyd with, is these speedballs that are meth and fentanyl. So it's just, I don't know. I feel like we got to make some kind of change. And you know, I don't know exactly what we have to do, but I know we got to do something. And as long as we know that there's a problem, we can come up with tons of solutions, you know, as a community to fix this problem and get these people the resources and the help that they need to get, you know, back on their feet. Because, I mean, the way I look at it is, if we're doing this for people that are not citizens, we should be at least doing this for our own communities, to clean up our own communities and, you know, get these people help that is much, much needed. Because substance abuse is a disease. It's not something you can shake. And with the potent of fentanyl, I mean, these kids don't stand a chance. And they're getting younger and younger and younger with it. I mean, think about it. If you got a family member that's strung out on fentanyl, and say he's 20 years old, his 13-year-old brother is looking up to him. That 13-year-old brother is gonna dabble with the fentanyl and eventually get hooked, just like the older brother did, possibly from seeing another sibling, cousin, parent, friend, peer, or somebody in their neighborhood using fentanyl. And fentanyl is the new dope on these streets that's really, really, really affecting the community. And it doesn't matter what color you are, what political party you stand by, what, we all know somebody that is hooked on this shit. And as a community, we got to help these folks out and clean up these streets. And throwing them in jail is not the solution. We need to get these people housing and get them out of these triple digit surroundings. But the problem is, it's just so many folks that are dealing with homelessness right now and dealing with substance abuse issues, and I feel like they both kind of feed it into each other. You can't really be homeless without suffering from some kind of substance abuse or mental issue, SMI issue, that is telling you that it's okay to sleep on these streets and stay in these streets rather than trying to better your life and you know, find a job and you know, work towards the American dream. You know, their American dream looks totally different, and with the continuation of substance abuse, the mind that they have is just getting destroyed, where that American dream that we look at is totally different to somebody suffering from substance abuse. And that's where we got to come in, and we got to show these folks that there's another way. But it's gonna take a lot from the community to help get these, you know, this push. But as Americans, you know, we look at our world news and our national news, and we're faced with so many different problems that are getting kind of pushed to the side, that our opiate crisis is just not even on the radar. At least from what I've seen and noticed, you know, they're like, this should be one of our most focused, prioritized issues in America, because it can happen to anybody. This addiction can hit any home in America, and it probably has hit at least 80% of the people's households. At least somebody in their family, or your family, or my family. You know, there's multiple people in my family that have suffered from substance abuse with opiates. And I feel like our pharmaceutical companies and prescribers just make it so easy for people to get hooked on different prescription drugs that pretty much turn them down a downhill spiral into addiction. And you know, once you're hooked, you're hooked. And even these doctors that are prescribing benzos now, like, now these kids are turning to the street for benzos, and they're finding out that these benzos are all cut with fentanyl. And some of them are just straight fentanyl altogether, but they look like the benzos. And it's just a real problem that's in the community right now that I'm seeing is hitting different communities that that are overtaking these communities and overtaking these cities. And you know, anytime I go to a store, I see somebody that's hooked on opiates or fentanyl or heroin or meth, or that are, you know, or either asking for change or money, or, you know, they're just strung out. Today, I was just in Phoenix, and I saw this lady that was walking around that was so strung out that she pulled her pants all the way down. Just, she was talking to herself. She had her tits out, like, straight out of her shirt, pants down, like, just acting senseless. And, you know, people have kids in their cars, and just seeing shit that this behavior is just wild. Like, that lady needs a lot of help. And like I said, because these drugs are overtaking our communities, there's not enough resources for everybody. And that's where the real problem comes from, is that, you know, we have a Starbucks on every corner, but we don't have some kind of place where these folks can go to, you know, to get out of the heat for a little bit. And we got to start figuring, it out, for, because if we leave these people out of the loop and we don't try to help these folks, this is what Arizona is going to come to. It's going to be like Skid Row across the whole valley. And like I said, it's already getting like that in a lot of communities. You know, I was in Scottsdale, right there in the Scottsdale area off of Scottsdale Road, south of Thomas and north of the 101, north of the 202. And it's just really, really drug infested right there. I'm not sure how long that has been going on right there for, but you know, you got all these hotels that are just infested, and it's just, I don't know where you have to tackle this problem from to really crack down on it, but this is gonna be, this issue is I feel bigger than the crack issue that we had in the 80s. And I mean, you're hearing a lot of stories out there of kids getting into their parents' stashes and overdosing, babies getting into their, you know, their parents, you know, a parent drops a pill on the floor, the baby goes and takes a fentanyl pill. And, you know, that happens probably every day in somewhere in the United States. I'm sure that's happening. I mean, there's just tons of stories about it. So it's just, we just gotta team up with our community, with all the resources that we can pull together, and just try to get these people some help. Cause, you know, I was kind of heartbroken when I saw this going on in Mesa like this, and I was just like, damn. Like, I used to think of Mesa like I would think of Chandler. And to see Mesa get like that so bad, it's just like, wow, this is really a problem that's snowballing, and is gonna hit every community in the valley if we don't get a hold of it. You know, if you look about the Arcadia area, which is pretty much the beginning of the East Valley, and you know, you got million-dollar houses, tons of them sitting on these big, these gigantic mansions, and there's camps set up just outside of those houses all over the place of people suffering from substance abuse. And there's just like, it's crazy to me. It's crazy to me that all this money that's in this area, the Biltmore, Arcadia area, so much money right there. And it is, you know, there's just so many people suffering from substance abuse in that area. Like, it's crazy. It's a hot spot. It's one of the hot spots in the Phoenix area. And I mean, one, I feel like treatment centers need to be a little bit better, but they also gotta pay a little bit better as well, because I see a lot of the people staying in that field. The turnover rate is crazy. I go on Indeed and Career Builder and I type in BHT jobs, and there's just thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of them there, because they're not really, you know, it's almost like a caregiver job, you know what I mean? Like, they're just not paying people enough to, you know, so they undercut the employees. So now you have a high turnover rate because they're undercutting the employees so bad. And at least in Arizona, I'm not sure how other states are, because I know in a lot of other states there's a lot of licensing and stuff that has to happen. Arizona, not as much, but the turnover rate is still crazy high, just due to the fact that a lot of companies that are resources for a lot of these people that are needing help, they just underpay their employees so bad. And when I say so bad, I mean like McDonald's wages. Like, you can go to McDonald's and make just as much as somebody that's a BHT, or you can go to In-N-Out Burger and make more than somebody that's a BHT. You can go to Whole Foods and make more than somebody that's a BHT. So a lot of these companies need to kind of open their eyes, because they're not really providing the best care for these people suffering, if the turnover rate is so high due to the fact that they're just not paying very well. And I've talked to tons of different employees that have come from all the different clinics and facilities in the behavior health, in the substance abuse field, and they tell me it's all the same. It's all the same with, you know, they don't really pay competitive wages that is going to keep a good counselor there, or going to keep a good nurse there, or a good case manager, or a great front office. Like, you gotta have, you know, if we're gonna really get these people the help they need, you gotta have great resources that are gonna be there. And it has to be more than just a reward thing, because people get that reward from helping, and then they turn to something different because it pays so much more. I have worked with great, great counselors who are branching off to real estate and are going to leave, you know, the behavior health game for substance abuse, because it just doesn't, it's not going to get them to the next level of their career. And, you know, they love helping people, but at the end of the day, they can't even help themselves because the wages are just not competitive enough to stay in the field. And this is something that I see regularly. So, but besides all that, you know, that's just one part of the problem with trying to help people suffering from substance abuse. That's just, but those places are still available for these folks. Another big problem is people just love the high. They love to stay high. They love to stay sedated, and they love to stay under the influence, and they just cannot stop using to save their lives. And this is where I see a lot of the problem with our community, and some of these folks, is that they only know one way. Once they get hooked on this new dope fentanyl, and it's just really, really hard for them to shake it. And the meth is the same thing. You know, the meth is just super, super hard for these people to shake it. And like I said, I don't know exactly what the solution is, but if we put a lot of great minds together, we can come up with a lot of different solutions. And I'm not saying that all will work, but you know, it just takes one great idea to make a difference. So, you know, that's just my thoughts on that. Because you know, I was cruising through Mesa, and I just saw a change in scenery that, you know, I'm way too familiar with, because you know, a lot of the community I was in looks just like Maryvale, and some parts of Arcadia and some parts of South Phoenix. And we can't let this drug problem get so far out of hand that it takes over our city, because that's what I'm seeing happening right now, is that these drugs are just taking over the city. And it's sad too, because it, you know, it, you don't have to be homeless to be addicted to any of these narcotics. They it's not, you see doctors hooked on this stuff, you see lawyers hooked on this stuff, you see policemen, you see nurses and MAs and teachers, and I see so many people different from different backgrounds, different races, different everything, and you know, if you listen to my last podcast, one of my buddies that I used to work with recently overdosed 3 months ago on fentanyl, and it was, you know, he was in management. I never expected him to even use any kind of substance besides, you know, casual drinking here and there. But yeah, when I got that news, it was just like, wow, like, that was somebody's son, that was somebody's father, you know. And it's just, once you go down that road, it's really, really, really hard to shake those demons off of you without the proper resources. So that's just my thought on the day. You know, I just wanted to come in and share that with y'all. As always, it's your boy Nasty Backpack. You can always reach me if you need advice or you need some kind of resources, or you know somebody needing resources. You guys can always hit me at nastybackpackpodcast.com@gmail.com. Actually, that's nastybackpackpodcast@gmail.com. I don't know why I said the .com twice. And just a side note, if you guys do know somebody that's using, try to get them a Narcan kit. Naloxone kits do save lives. And you know, everybody that is using should have one. So if you know somebody that's using, ask them if they have a Narcan kit. That way, if at least if they're using, you know, they're at least, it's harm reduction at the end of the day. So if y'all know somebody using, get them a Narcan kit if they don't already have one. Make sure they know how to use it, and make sure that if they, whoever they're using with, I usually tell my folks or people that I know, make sure you guys are educating your friends that you're using with on how to use a Narcan kit in case you go down, you know, or somebody goes down, or everybody goes down, somebody knows how to use the Narcan. But other than that, it's your boy Nasty Backpack. We out.